It's really great to have people in church on a long weekend, so thanks for coming. Otherwise, I had to preach to my husband. It's not a good idea ever to preach to your husband. I'm gonna finish a series Andre started 3 weeks ago called Unblocking the Wells. And God has really been moving in our midst. Eh? I think all of us are changing. I just feel in my own heart that I'm changing all the time, and it's so good. You know, I committed my life to the Lord when I was 13 years old. And it's just so good to change all the time, to still keep on changing all the time. So I just want to encourage you to embrace whatever God is doing in your life right now. Just embrace it. Just run with it. Just flow with it. Just allow God to complete work that He started in your life in whichever area. Just allow Him to do that. For those of you who don't know, I worked at an auditing firm for 11 years before I joined Andre in full-time ministries about 3 years ago. And I remember getting quite a huge shock when I went to university and studied accounting, because accounting at school for me was enjoyable. Surprise, surprise, I know for some of you it was your worst nightmare. But I kind of enjoyed it. But when I came to university, it wasn't the same thing. How many of you studied accounting? Oh, okay, you'll know what I'm talking about. I don't know. The accounting I did at university was really frightening. It was scary, and I really battled to get a grip on that. But nevertheless, I finished my degree and my honors, and I started with my articles. But I remember having to deal with technical issues at work. You see, how it worked is whenever you come across a really difficult technical accounting issue, we had a technical department in our firm, so you phone the technical department, you discuss it with them, and also we had experts in our midst who could advise us. And I remember this one woman in our technical department. She was a loud woman, and she intimidated the life out of me. Whenever I come across a technical thing I need to discuss with her, I just wanted to die before the time. I didn't want to phone her. I didn't want to talk to her, but I had to from time to time. And you see, that intimidation was born from the fact, or the majority of that was born from the fact that I failed my board exam. After you do your honors, you write two exams to get your a final qualification. I failed the first part the first time. So it was a huge shock to my system, and my confidence got a huge knock. And I really had to deal with that. I was the only one in our first year group in the Stellenbosch office who failed. You know, and I was one of those diligent students who sit in front of the class, you know, those kind of people. And so nobody expected me to fail, and I also didn't expect myself to fail. I mean, no way, it's never going to happen to me. But that was my first big failure, and it was something I really had to deal with. But because of that, I became very insecure and very, very intimidated with people I thought was clever and, you know, got all the technical things under control. So that woman really, really, really intimidated me. She made me feel like a stupid, dumb blonde. And the problem was that whenever I felt like that, I started acting stupid. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. I would blank. I couldn't logically explain the problem. She would ask me a question, and then I didn't know exactly how to answer, and it was just terrible. Okay? It was a terrible situation every time I had to speak to her. I was trying to avoid her, trying to speak to other people, but she intimidated the life out of me. And I just realized that that kind of intimidation comes for all of us. In our workplace, in the church, wherever we go, that spirit of intimidation knows your button. He knows exactly your insecurity and your weakness. And you know, it uses different lies, like you have nothing to add or to contribute. There's enough capable people to do the job, so what does you have to offer? Nobody's interested in your opinion. These are all the lies, okay, that this spirit of intimidation uses. You are stupid. You're not a leader. Don't even try. You're going to fail. You're going to look like a fool. You're going to look stupid. Don't even try. And it comes for our identity. It comes for the core of who we are. So it's a very clever thing that intimidates us to sit in the corner and do nothing and say nothing. All right? And the effect of intimidation is it makes us extremely self-conscious. So it makes you focus on yourself. It makes you evaluate and investigate everything that you do and that you say. It makes you extremely self-conscious. It steals your joy. It makes you depressed. And it makes you lose perspective over everything that you do, everything that you've been through, your future. You lose perspective. Your gifts, even though you could be strong in a certain area, that gift could become dormant because you are intimidated. So even though, you know, technically I had my qualification in terms of my previous example, I passed all my exams. I was working, you know, as a professional auditor. Technically, from other people's point of view, I didn't have to feel insecure, intimidated, but I did. So even though I had the natural gifting, that gift almost became dormant in my life because I was intimidated. All right, so a strength can become ineffective and can become dormant. It steals our confidence and our boldness, which is crucial for two things: to fulfill the call of God in your life and to be effective in your workplace, in your studies, wherever, whatever you do on a daily basis. It steals your boldness and your confidence. And those two things are so crucial for us to fulfill what God has called us to do. So how many of you would like to be free of this kind of spirit? Anybody? Awesome. Okay. I'm gonna share a few things with you how God dealt with me in the past. Because it's really something that's very familiar to me. And I've been battling with this in different areas in my life, but God was so faithful to show me practical ways of dealing with this in the natural and in the spiritual. So I want to share scripture with you. I used about a month ago, also in one of my sermons, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. God really showed me something in the scripture that opened my eyes for something I've never seen before. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity." Some translation says, "He has not given us a spirit of fear." But the NIV specifically talks about timidity. "But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, the way God explained to me, or the Holy Spirit just revealed to me, is God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity or intimidation, but he empowers us to choose love, which will lead to a sound mind. God empowers us to choose love. Now you might think, how is choosing love going to break the spirit of intimidation? Doesn't really make sense. Let me explain to you. The moment we love people, the moment we take the focus off ourselves and we put the focus on other people, the moment you put yourself in somebody else's shoes, you get over yourself. Amen? The moment you take your eyes off your own insecurities, inabilities, and fears, and you focus on somebody else, you get over yourself. And it enables you to do something you would never have done if you were focused on yourself. So God empowers us to choose love in such a strong way that we would get over ourselves. We would look away from whatever comes to us in terms of intimidation and step out and do it in any case. For example, if you battle to greet a stranger, you battle to go to somebody and say, "Hi, I'm Sonica. Nice to meet you." It's a complete stranger. You've never met the person before. At the gym, at a braai, at a social, in church. It's your worst nightmare to go to somebody that you don't know. If you put yourself in that person's shoes, say for example somebody walking in this church building, for those of you visiting this morning, it's quite scary, hey, to visit a new church. I don't know how many of you have visited a new church recently. Some of you have, this church. It's quite scary to walk into a new place, and it feels to you as you are the only one that doesn't know anybody, because everybody knows everybody. It's quite intimidating. Now, if you've been in this church for 6 months and you're still scared to greet somebody new, just put yourself in the shoes of somebody walking in here for the very first time. And tell yourself how that person should feel. Quite intimidated also, alone, you know, what's going to happen, maybe a bit of fear. If you put yourself in that person's shoes, you will get over yourself. You will step out and say, "Hi, I'm Sonika. Nice to meet you. Where are you from? Are you visiting?" You get what I'm saying? You know, I started just greeting them. I do aqua aerobics at one of the gyms in town with all the old ladies, really, but it's okay. I love it. But now I've made a point, whenever there's a new woman walking into the swimming pool area, I can just see that she's really intimidated, you know, because it's all the older ladies, they know each other, they're a group of friends, they've been doing this for years. And I've just made a point in greeting the person and introducing myself, and immediately I can feel that person start relaxing. But I'm also intimidated, okay, I don't really feel like greeting new people all the time, to be honest. But the moment I put myself in that person's shoes, I get over myself. It's the most amazing feeling of getting over yourself, loving somebody, just walking out and do that. Another example, we've been praying for the sick for quite a while now, because God is challenging us to step out. If you are intimidated to pray for somebody who's sick, just put yourself in that person's shoes who's sick maybe for months, maybe for years, who's desperate for healing. Desperate. Especially if there's no medical answer. Put yourself in that person's shoes, and I guarantee you, you will take the risk and pray. Because you get over yourself. You just realize, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to give it a try. Because even if God doesn't heal, I'm still going to give it a try. Even if the person is not healed on the spot, I'm going to get over myself, because it's worth the risk. Because you put yourself in that person's shoes. And whatever else I'm going to share this morning, this is the foundation. This is the foundation where God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear or intimidation, but He empowers us to choose love. He empowers us to choose love. So I just want to give you a few things in my own life that God really taught me, and it helped me a lot to get over my own fears and intimidation. It changed me. The first one is a very practical one. Equip yourself. I remember when I was at school, I had two big fears. The one was computers. And I was terrified of a computer. The second one was speaking English. Now, when I went to university, I said to God, "Lord, I need to learn to speak this foreign language. Please, can you give me an English roommate?" Now, I went to the Stellenbosch University, which is very Afrikaans. It's changed a lot over the years. But in my year, which was light years ago, it was still very Afrikaans. So now, I ended up in a very Afrikaans hostel. Six of the girls were English in my first year. And I got one of them as my roommate. So obviously, God agreed that she needs help. So they laughed at me so much, but I knew this is God helping me to get over my intimidation. I know some of you feel she still needs help, but it's okay. You know, you should have heard me 15 years ago, then you'll be really, really proud of me today. This is all I can say. If you have to do something and it intimidates you, if you have to do something on a daily basis that intimidates you, equip yourself. Go for lessons. Read a book. Watch a DVD. Equip yourself. It really changed my life. You know, Andre is brilliant with this. He just reasons, you know, there's nothing, I don't know, I believe there's nothing that he can't do. I'm not objective, obviously, but he's really brilliant. I think he's amazing with this. He studies all the time. He reads up all the time. Different subjects, different things. He knows so much about many things that, you know, many people know nothing about. He knows something about because he studies. And he's not going to sit in the corner and let something intimidate him. I love it. I love it because I'm not really like that. I'm the sit in the corner type, you know, let something intimidate me type of person. And he's not like that. And I learned so much from him. And I just want to encourage you, whatever intimidates you, go for lessons. Do that extra thing that will equip you to get over your intimidation. It's a very practical way. Practice, 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 practice. You know, practice whatever you need to do to get over that. You know, also a very good example, when we did the School of Healing, many of us are intimidated by praying for the sick. But by staying away, it's not going to take the intimidation away. We should attend the School of Healing as we did the past month. I mean, I feel so equipped. I feel so encouraged. I feel so less intimidated to pray for somebody sick. Hey, would you agree with me? For those of you who watch the videos, it equipped us. It's a practical thing where we can equip ourselves and get over our intimidation. Amen? We must give it another try. I want to read you a few things. Of people who gave it another try. Henry Ford failed and went broke 5 times before he succeeded. 5 times. Best-selling author Max Licato had his first book rejected by 14 publishers before finding one that was willing to give him a chance. 14. How many of us would have stopped after 5? 5 publishers who told us, this is not going to work. 14. Walt Disney, listen to this one. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper because he lacked ideas. Later, he went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. Interesting, eh? Upon his election as U.S. president, Abraham Lincoln was called a baboon by a newspaper in his home state. The paper went on to say that the American people would be better off if he were assassinated. That's nice. I just realized, you know, we give up so easily because people and circumstances intimidate us. And God might have called you for something really big, but we give up so easily. Maybe you have prayed for somebody and the person didn't get healed. We can't give up after one try. We can't. Maybe you invited somebody to church and the person just laughed at you. And I said, oh, never gonna try this again. This is too painful. No, give it another try. Give it another try. Maybe you shared the gospel with a friend or a family member and, oh, my word, oh, just never gonna do that again. Maybe you studied and you failed like me. You know, I say to myself, I'm going to pass these exams even if I'm like a oma with a kiri, a crutch, yeah. I say to myself, I will pass these exams, you know. Even if I do it in my old age home, I'm going to pass it. Simon, you'll know what I'm talking about. Simon and I worked together here in East London for 5 months. You have to give it another try. And I know I'm speaking to some of you. You need to go and revisit that failure you had and give it another try, because that thing is intimidating you and keeping you from what God has called you to do. We have to do it afraid if it comes down to that. I remember having to do what Yvette did this morning, just sharing a short message before we receive the offering in our Stellenbosch church. Now, that is a different church than our church, okay? There's about 1,000 people. There's a big stage, much bigger than this one. There's the senior pastor and his wife sitting there in the front row, listening to your two-minute attempt. And when they asked me, I said, of course. Biblical stewardship is one of my passions, so I was very keen to do this two-minute thing before we receive an offering, not knowing that it's going to freak me out completely. I was so scared and intimidated, I can't tell you. And I came to a point where I said to myself, I'm a volunteer. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to tell them I'm not available anymore. So it's all in my head, okay? I'm telling this to myself. And the moment I thought that, another thought came, which I recognized as God speaking to me. He said, Sonika, if you do that, you do exactly what the devil wants you to do. So I had to stop. Okay, I can't quit. I don't want to do what the devil wants me to do, so I can't quit. Okay, so now what do I do now? The fear was not gone. The intimidation was not gone. I was freaked out every time they sent the roster. Sonika, you must do it on Sunday, 14 April. Oh, my word. I'm going to die. I was really scared. I can't explain to you how scared I was. And I couldn't understand it because at that stage, I've been teaching at Bible school. So I had, in terms of equipping myself and giving it another try, all those things, I've done it. But for some reason, I was really scared. So I had to start making war against the spirit of intimidation. I had to make war because this thing wanted to put me in the corner again and silence me. So I did everything I could. I prayed. I did breathing exercises. Okay. For those of you who must go and see your bank manager, let me show you. Breathing exercise. You go. Oops. You get all the air out. Then you breathe in for 3 seconds. I think so. I haven't done this in a while. So 3 seconds in. 5 out. I did this behind the curtain on the stage. Not even Andre knows that. That's why he's laughing. Nobody knows this. Luckily, the worship, it was during the worship. Maybe everybody thought I was worshiping God. I was doing breathing exercises. I did breathing exercises. I prayed. I did everything it took. But I said to myself, God told me I can't quit. So I have to do this. I have to do this. So I got breakthrough. But I was doing it afraid time after time. I was doing it afraid. And I got breakthrough. It came to a point where I started enjoying that. And Andrea also told me, nobody's listening in any case, you know, like. So I thought, that's not helping me. I want them to listen. He said to me, why are you scared? Nobody listening in any case. Yeah, that didn't help. But I thought, no, I can't quit. God really gave me profound things to say that I wanted to share, but I was just so scared. And, you know, God so turned it around for me. I started getting random feedback from people. The one girl came to me, she said, Sonika, when you share the message before we receive the offering, I receive hope. It's just so much more than just something on giving. I receive hope. Another girl came to me, she said, no, Sonika, when you get on stage and you open your mouth, you can check this with Andre, okay? When you open your mouth, the heavens open. I mean, how's that for a message on finances? The heavens open. And God started speaking. So I thought, wow, really? I was so encouraged, but I had to do it afraid. I was so scared. So whatever you have to do afraid, do it afraid. Do your breathing exercises if you have to, but just do it afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is action in the presence of fear. OK, Can we say that perhaps? Courage is not the absence of fear, it is action in the presence of fear. We always think, oh, that person is so courageous, I wish I can be like him or her. Meantime, it's just action in the presence of fear. They're just going for it. And what I felt in my heart, that there's people here this morning who battle to pray in front of other people. And you're probably going to also die if I ask you to raise your hand, but I am going to do it now. I'm not going to call you forward, but I actually felt I must pray for you right now. So is there anybody you battle to pray in front of other people, even in front of your spouse, you're battling? Anybody like that? I know there's people here this morning. Okay. Okay, awesome. I'm going to pray for you right now. You can drop your hand. I really felt that God wants to set you free this morning. Okay. Where you will do it afraid, probably, still for a couple of times. But you will do it, and you will start enjoying it like I did. Father, I thank you for these precious people, Lord, who was bold enough to raise their hands. God, and I pray you'll honor their boldness. I pray that you'll honor, Lord, that courage. And I pray that you'll release in them a boldness, Lord, to do this afraid until they get it right, until they start enjoying this. Father, I pray for prayers that will come through their mouths, Lord, that will change the world, that will move mountains, that will impact many people's lives. I pray, God, that you'll release them to pray prayers that'll change and will bring change and it will glorify your name in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're going to pray in front of people soon, in front of your spouse. You're going to enjoy it. Okay? And if you must do it afraid for a couple of times, just go for it. Just go for it. I know about many people who couldn't pray in front of people and now you must see them now. No fear. Not going to mention any names. No, last two. Knowing that God is with you and for you. These two are probably the most important ones I'm going to share now, okay? Knowing that God is with you and for you will break the spirit of intimidation. Because we can equip ourselves, we can give it another try, we can do all those things. But in the end, knowing that God is with you is going to set you free. I remember last year when I had to go to Durban to speak at a Women's Day and to preach there this Sunday. And I was really scared again, not because of the preaching, but because of the flying, because I get motion sickness. I'm not going to give you all the detail about that. You don't want to know. But Andre had a word for me that changed my life. The Thursday, I said to God, Lord, please can somebody go with me? Because the previous time I did something like that, Leanne was my bodyguard. I don't know what she would have done in any case if I got sick, but it made me feel better just to have somebody close by. So she was my bodyguard. This time we didn't have money to, you know, get me a bodyguard. So it was me and myself and God. So I said, Lord, please can somebody go with me? Please. So I had this expectation that somebody's just going to give me 3,000 rand and say, use it for, I know you need this, and then I would just buy a plane ticket. You see, that was my expectation. So Andre had a word for me when we had our previous Unblocking the Wells weekend. He saw an angel, and he said to me, Father, this angel will go with me whenever I must go anywhere and minister God's word. This angel will go with me. So I thought, wow, that was so encouraging to me. He didn't know about my prayers, and I just knew that God is sending an angel with me. I just so needed to hear that at that very moment. I was so encouraged. All the fear disappeared, all the intimidation for flying, and I just knew it's going to be fine. God is giving me an angel to sit with me. And it was so encouraging. Knowing that God is with you and for you will break the power of intimidation. The Holy Spirit. This is probably the most important one. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. This is the Amplified. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You'll receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. On the night that Jesus was crucified, he denied him Because he was scared. He was intimidated by people asking him, "We've seen you with Jesus. Are you also one of his disciples?" He ran away. He was scared. But after he received the Holy Spirit, this power that the scripture is talking about, he preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost, a bold sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. Now, is this the same person? Yes and no. It's the same person with the same personality and the same weaknesses, but God gave him power. God gave him power to be a witness, and it changed the life of 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. Isn't this amazing? So I want to encourage you, if you've been running away in the past from things, God can empower you to the same you can do the same things, or not the same things, but can do things that you've never wanted to do before because of the Holy Spirit that empowers us. Acts 4 verse 31 says, "And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." This was after the day of Pentecost. And what this shows me is we must continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a once-off, now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, now I can continue with my life. We must continually be filled. We teach on this at our Perspective seminar, and I wish I had lots of time this morning just to teach you all about baptism in the Holy Spirit, but it's a separate event to your salvation. Sometimes it happens on the same moment or the same day. Sometimes it's a separate event, but it's being filled with the Holy Spirit changed my life more than committing my life to the Lord. It was a more powerful and significant event in my life than my salvation. And my salvation was amazing. So there's something about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being empowered with the Spirit of God that gives us boldness. That is not a personality thing. Many people tell me, "Sonika, I can't do that. It's not my personality." I tell you, since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I did things that is really not my personality. I do many things today that's not my natural personality. I'm shy. I just want to be a pot plant in a corner, really. You know, in a musical or play, I'll be the pot plant, okay? Not a singing plant like the previous one. This boldness that Acts 4 verse 31 is talking about, it's an outspokenness, an unreserved utterance, cheerful courage. How's that? Cheerful courage. The opposite of cowardice, timidity, or fear. This boldness is not a human quality, but it is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fills you and empowers you, you do things you would never do in your own ability and your own strength. You know, one of our pastors, I'm almost done. One of our pastors received a word from somebody else about the shofar group. He saw a graph with a horizontal axis, that's confidence, and the vertical one as impact. And the word came that the more we grow as a church group, the more we grow in our confidence, not in ourselves, but in God, the more we grow in our boldness and our confidence, the bigger the impact will be that we make on this world. Isn't this amazing? And you see, that confidence is not our own confidence. That should really just set you free, because it's something we receive from God that enables us to do things we would have never done in our own strength. But the more we grow in that, the bigger the impact will be on this world. It's crucial to unblock the wells. Its boldness and confidence are crucial for the call that God has on your life. We cannot go without it. Without God's boldness and God's confidence that He puts in me, I really can do very little. I can do almost nothing. I need that. I need that with all of my heart. I want to give you one last scripture, Proverbs 21, verse 8. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. If all your creative people, just picture a cartoon, you know, where the wicked flees, there's nobody chasing, but somebody's fleeing. Okay? This is often what happens when we flee, but there's nothing really chasing. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now maybe you think, oh, I'm not righteous. How am I ever going to be as bold as a lion because I first need to get to righteousness? You know what? Righteousness is our inheritance as children of God because of what Jesus did for us. Now, we can't earn it. We can't work for it. But because of what Jesus did, righteousness is our inheritance. We can just receive it. And boldness is the inheritance of the righteous. So because we can receive righteousness as an inheritance, we can receive boldness as an inheritance. It's available. It's there for all of us to receive and to walk in it. Imagine a life without intimidation. Imagine. Imagine a life where nothing intimidates you. Nothing. Not your boss. Not your work. Not your job. Not a difficult technical or complex situation at work. Not praying for the sick. Not walking across the room to somebody, introducing yourself to a stranger. Imagine a life not being intimidated. It sounds like an awesome life for me. And I want that. I want that with all of my heart. I want that. And I'm going to pray now that God will just release that over your life. A boldness, a confidence, a knowing that He is for you. And knowing that He is for you. And knowing that He can and wants to empower you with His Spirit over and over and over again to do whatever you have to do in your workplace, in your studies, in church. Wherever you go, the Lord your God is with you. Wherever you go, you can be strong and courageous. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. You can stand with me. When I was preparing this message, I really felt in my heart that there will be people here this morning that we need to pray for. So I just want to share what was on my heart, and let's just give the Holy Spirit a moment to do whatever He wants to do. If we can maybe just close our eyes. Just give everybody a bit of privacy. I felt in my heart that there's going to be people here this morning, you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, and maybe you don't understand it. Maybe it's just a foreign concept that you're a bit scared of and that you feel you rather want to stay away from. But what I felt in my heart is that you are primarily relying on your natural strengths, and that God has gifted you in the natural, in an amazing way. He has gifted you, but the impact that you'll have on this world, on this community, will be so much more. I also feel that you have a heart for the community. You have a heart for East London. You have a heart for the Eastern Cape. But you are primarily relying on your natural giftings to do what is in your heart. And I feel God wants to empower you. I want to ask you to raise your hand because I know I've been praying for you, and I know there's people like that. Anybody like that? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I really feel God wants to empower you this morning. Maybe you've been prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the past. I feel if you've not been filled, I really feel God wants to fill you this morning with His power. It's nothing weird. It's just a prayer. And I remember after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, God filled me with so much boldness. So much boldness. I couldn't believe I was the same person. Can I ask you, for those of you who raised your hands, would you be so bold to come to the front? Please, I would love to pray with you. I want to pray for more people. So can you maybe just stand on my left? Anybody else who wants to join them? I felt that you're primarily relying on your natural giftings and that you are very gifted. God has blessed you, but He wants to empower you with something beyond your natural ability to impact so much more. Anybody else? I feel you have a heart for the Eastern Cape. You have a heart for East London, for the community. Can all the people who are going on missions, if you can just come help us pray. I just want to pray for another group of people. The missions people, if you can come forward and just help us pray. I just felt there's another group of people. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know that. But you are by nature a shy person. And I relate to that because I'm also shy. I promise you. I'm really shy and I can so relate to that. If you are by nature a shy person, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you are shy. You would call yourself an introvert. I really feel God wants to make you bold this morning. Is there anybody like that? If you can just quickly raise your hands. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Would you be so bold to come to the front and just stand here on this side? I really feel God wants to release you in another dimension of boldness that you've never known before. Because I've seen that in my life. I've seen that in my life where you can transform a shy little girl into somebody who can preach like me this morning. And if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, any one of you can do it. So anybody else, you're by nature a shy person, introvert, if you can just stand on this side, you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you need boldness for anything. Okay. Anybody else who wants to join this group, you're welcome. If you feel just in general that you need boldness and courage, you're also welcome just to join us. Amen. I'm just going to pray, and then the people will minister to you. Okay, hallelujah, Father, we welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you, God, and I just release the person of the Holy Spirit here this morning, for us to receive power, Lord, for we to receive boldness and confidence and something beyond our natural ability to do things we've never done before. And I just release that. I just release that. I just release that, Lord, over each and every one in the name of Jesus. I just release that. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord. Come, empower us in Jesus' name. Come, empower us, Lord. Come, empower us, God. Just pray in your own words for those of you who've come to the front. Just pray in your own words and just say, God, give me boldness. Give me boldness. Give me confidence. Empower me. Empower me. Hallelujah. We worship you.